Okay. So we're almost all here, but there's a few people missing. But just for everybody to know, we've got a new member of the class here, Scott, over here behind the pole.
Hi, Scott.
We welcome Scott. Yvette, you are here.
Yes.
Hi, well Yvette. Done.
We miss you.
Perhaps over here on this side, Yvette. Glad you could make it. So, yeah, two things about two books. First of all, this book here, Remembering Babylon, I have tried to get the publisher to send me some copies, but I haven't heard back from the publisher yet. But I found six copies at home, and I've distributed them to people here, and I've asked them to read it and pass it on to someone else in the group. Right. That's the idea.
I bought one.
It was fantastic.
I've read it.
Brilliant.
Yeah,
brilliant.
I read it yesterday in bed.
That's great. Fantastic.
It's just
very good. That's great. And the other thing is that this anthology of writings by this class and other classes like this over the last 10 years, which retails at $25, I have got them special price for people in the Clemente program for $10 each. So if you want one, I'm going to have them here this week and next week.
Next week.
So, that's it.
So, Michael, you said it's 10 years in
the... 10 years worth. Since actually more, 2005 it goes back to, so 12 years.
Is that the very beginning of Clemente?
That's the beginning of literature in Clemente,
But as I say, it's only 10 years.
Yeah, well, it's 2005. That's 12.
Yeah.
That's 12. Yeah. So... what I'm going to do today, first of all, is share your work with the class. And the first thing I want to do up here is just show you Galway Kinnell's Blackberry Eating, this poem that we looked at last week. Most of you were able to understand the idea that the poem was not only about blackberries, but the poem was about poetry. And the closer we got into it, we realized that these black words were really black berries. So this poem had a shape, a kind of a shape of a blackberry, a kind of a shape of a blackberry. And Galway Kinnell probably had this in mind. He's going to write a short, condensed, compact poem with all these black words in it, and he's going to turn that into a poem about blackberries. And for Scott's benefit, I'll just read it again. You can all hear it again, how the sound of this poem, its word sounds, really take us into the feeling and the texture of what a blackberry eating is like, but also maybe what a poem eating is like. I love to go out in late September among the fat, overripe, icy black blackberries. To eat blackberries for breakfast, the stalks very prickly, a penalty they earn for knowing the black art of blackberry making. And as I stand among them, lifting the stalks to my mouth, the ripest berries fall almost unbidden to my tongue. And that word tongue, right in the middle of the poem, is the turning point where blackberries hit the tongue, turn tongues into words. As words sometimes do, certain peculiar words like strength or squinched. You can almost hear the juice coming out of those words. You know, I have a German background, and I sometimes think of the German words that my mother gave me. Apfelstrudel mit Schlagobers dazu. You can hear the apple coming out of the apple strudel and there's the cream on top of it. Apfelstrudel mit Schlagobers dazu. Ja, bitte mehr. You know, words...
I'm hungry.
Words carry their meaning in their sounds. Like strengths or squinched, many-lettered, one-syllabled lumps, which I squeeze, squinch open, and splurge well in the silent, startled, icy black language of blackberry eating in late September. So you got a poem, words about blackberries, fruits, but the poem is about eating the fruits, and that becomes a metaphor for the way that words can feed us in a different way. Now, a couple of other things to say about this. This poem is a 14-line poem. And a 14-line poem is a sonnet. The shape of this poem is a sonnet. And back in Shakespeare's time, we're going to come and look at Shakespeare in a minute. There's Shakespeare's sonnet about his mistress. We're going to look at that one. It's also 14 lines. But people still write 14-line poems nowadays. And it's a 14-line poem, which makes it particularly appropriate to the shape of a blackberry. And it is full of squelchy berry pods, which are full of seeds, metaphorically speaking. Okay?
So question. September is coming.
September is coming.
Yeah, it's September.
This is in the Northern Hemisphere.
Oh, right. It's not
this is in America.
Not in the Blacktown.
No, this is in autumn. not in Blacktown. No, no blackberries in Blacktown in autumn.
Yeah, it's going to be nice.
When do blackberries come out in Blacktown?
I think
spring.
Spring. Which is pretty
late spring.
Late spring. Okay.
December.
Very good.
All right.
So, I've also handed you out a sheet. We're not going to go through it in detail at the moment. It's called Poetic Devices. This one, Poetic Devices. Rima, we're looking at the wrong sheet.
Sorry.
This one,
Devices. Oh, they're the Poetic Devices.
And I'm going to be going through that a little bit later, but I've just got on the board here a few things that pick up what I've been talking about. First of all, sounds of words are so important. You know, it's like a painter uses colours, a poet uses sounds. And there are whole sort of different ways in which sounds work. For instance, here you've got strengths squinched. You've got S beginning, and you've got the actual...
squinch and splurge.
And splurge. So what you've got here, you've got the devices. Alliteration is when the first consonant of a word is repeated. Assonance is when the vowels are repeated. Now let me take you back a bit here. All words are made up of vowels and consonants. All words. So language is innately musical. For instance, a, e, I, o, u. Everybody say that. A, e, I, o, u. Beautiful primary class. Well done. Okay, they're vowels. And when you do that, there's nothing stopping the flow of the air coming through the mouth. Nothing stopping the flow. Except the shape of your mouth. Try it again. I-E-I-O-U. You notice that your mouth, your throat is changing its shape to make a different sound. That's a vowel. But when you come to... That is when your tongue, your lips, your teeth are getting in the way. P, B, G, T, U, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, consonants. All those interrupt the flow of the sound. And some of them interrupt it harshly, like T, and some of them interrupt it softly, like D. And there's a difference between hard, explosive consonants and soft voice consonants. P and B. Now, all that is part of the poet's equipment. And they don't do it so consciously because language is something that we learn from childhood. But unconsciously, a poet's capacity to use these sounds is the mechanism of poetry. So that's why sounds are so important. Vowels, consonants, which create alliteration, which create assonance. And the other things they create is rhythm, rhyme, meter. We're going to go into these things in a bit more detail. Onomatopoeia, we covered last week, is when sounds actually imitate actual sounds, like the quacking of ducks or the murmuring of bees on a summer's day. Bzz, 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 the murmuring of the bees on a summer's day. Words can imitate sounds like that.
Which create the word onomatopoeia.
Which create onomatopoeia, exactly.
Like cuckoo.
That's right, that's right.
Let us all burn.
That's it, all of us do. So other things on here that might be teasing your brain before we get to them. Meanings of words. Words have two different sorts of meanings, denotation and connotation, dictionary definitions and associated meanings. We'll come to that. Shape of words on the page. That's this, the shape of the words on the page. And many poems have got perhaps more obvious shapes on the page. If you turn to page, let's have a look here, page 11. Those of you that faithfully put in your numbers last week will find it quickly, but that's the page we're looking for, Scott. This one here. It doesn't have numbers in, unfortunately, your booklet. You've just got to browse through about a third of the way through.
Which one is it?
Swan one.
John Hollander.
Swan and Shadow.
Swan.
And Reflection. Swan and Shadow.
Good. That's a good one.
See, what I'm showing you here is that poetry and the visual arts are actually very close. And even when a poet is not as obvious as that, these are very obvious examples. This also has shape. All poems have got shape on the page. The poem called Bleeding, this one here on this same page, you'll notice that there's a knife shape down the middle of it. Someone's plunged a knife down the middle of those words. And if you read the poem, "Stop bleeding," said the knife. "I would if I could set the cut. Stop bleeding, you make me messy with this blood. I'm sorry," said the cut. "Stop or I will sink in further," said the knife. "Don't," said the cut. The knife did not say it couldn't help, but it sank in further. "If only you didn't bleed," said the knife, "I wouldn't have to do this," and so on and so on and so forth. So the knife blade is going in through the poem. So here a poet is using a visual device, the shape on the page, to emphasize something about the meaning of the poem, just like Galway Kinnell in a less obvious way is talking about the shape of blackberries in this 14-line poem with its big black words. So that's shape. And then poetic form down here. Well, I've told you this is a sonnet. And there's many different sorts of poetic forms. There's sonnets with stanzas with 3 lines in it, stanzas with 4 lines. So poetic form is the kind of shaped poem that a poet is using. And we'll see more of those.
And then you've got that free writing.
Yeah, that's free verse.
Yeah, free verse.
Free verse, that's also part of poetic form. So that's good.
What is the stanza?
Sorry?
Stanza.
Stanza's in between the two verses. Like, it's like a verse. It's a gap between the two verses.
Yeah, stanza is like a paragraph.
Yeah.
Stanza equals paragraph in prose.
What is?
Stanza.
Oh, it's a stanza.
Stanza,
yes.
Stanza.
And what's the difference between free verse and, say, and just paragraphs from
a... Free verse and traditional verse.
Not verse. Free verse and just traditional writing.
Traditional verse.
What's the difference?
Yeah, somebody...
The difference is that this is traditional. It's written as 14-line poem. And free verse, there's no form, sort of fixed form. The poet is just going like a jazz musician, playing it by ad lib.
But couldn't it just be like just normal writing then?
No, then it's prose.
All right, so what's
the difference?
Okay, the difference is prose goes from one side of the page to the other side of the page.
Yes.
Poetry always has line lengths which are adjusted.
So you could have normal writing and adjust it to be a poem.
You could do, but you'd have to be fairly careful how you adjust it, because the line lengths, as we're going to see in some of these poems, make a difference. See, the line length shows where the subject is, where the expansion is, and so on. It's a bit like writing music. You go da da dee da 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 da. You can adjust it. Adjust it, exactly right. Excellent. And then poetic kinds. There's ballads, there's narrative, there's odes, there's lyrics. This is a lyric. A lyric is a poem that's a personal poem about a personal experience. different from the meaning of the word lyric when it's applied to a song lyric. That's a different meaning.
Now, is he a well-known poet?
Galway Kinnell is a very well-known poet.
But he's only a poet?
I think he's written essays as well. He actually visited Australia about 20 years ago, and I saw him at Macquarie Uni. Very impressive poet. Then he must be getting on at this stage.
So he's Irish?
No, he's American. He might be Canadian. Either Canadian or American.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think you can sing it. You can sing it as a song.
You can sing any poem as a song. You can put it to music. Lots of poetry has been put to music because poetry is innately musical. Because poets are so concerned with drawing out the sounds of words. Like prose, ordinary, everyday writing, usually the person is not so interested in the sound, they're just interested in getting their meaning out, meaning across. That's the difference. Prose is not so much of an art form, until you come to David Malouf's Remembering Babylon, the novel, which, as Yvette will probably tell you, is very poetical in the way it uses language.
Yes, and it's very hard to understand too.
Yeah, that's right, for that reason.
I have to read through it twice.
That's
right. That's right.
Hard to understand because it demands more of you as the reader. It's not just giving you information, it's plunging you into an experience.
It's very quirky.
Yeah, that's right. That's the way literary art works. Literary art works by plunging you into an experience, like this poem here. And it plunges you into the experience, and then you ask all these questions and you come out somehow transformed. Any great work of literature changes you as a human being. That's an argument. Now, what we're going to do at this point is we're going to do a couple of things. We're going to get out of here, and we're going to go to ACU. Here's the LEO site. There's your site. And we're going to go to the top space. It says find all ACU literature WordPress URLs there. What are URLs? URLs is the address for your WordPress blog. Okay? So you've got that here, and you can go and visit. There's hundreds of students there. I've asked them to visit you as well, and you can comment on their blogs. Now, what I've done this week, I've gone through your blogs and I've done some comments, and I'm going to, and those of you that are on board yet with Yvette and Scott, because you missed out last week, make sure that we get you enrolled in that. And
that's the ACU, find all ACU literature
URLs. And when I click on there, look what happens. There it comes. And look who's on the top of the list, the person who just asked me the question, Neil Campbell, because he is the first person alphabetical in this room, not because he's the best person, but because he's the first person alphabetically. Now, when I click on Neil Campbell's, look what I get! Blackberries!
Look at that, you're in print.
Yeah. He's in print. And not only is he in print, but he's in print for the whole world to see.
Oh, no,
a whole world.
Are you joking?
I'm not joking. The whole world. Suck it or die.
What if we ever became published writers and were absolutely
Many of you have been. Hello, Josh.
Amateur scholars.
That's right.
Leo's got a device in it which finds plagiarism. So if you're copying someone else's work,
that's right.
He knows Leo.
Josh.
So that's
very good. Why don't you go and sit next to Roman down there?
Sorry. Whatever you publish on the blog, it's copyrighted. So if somebody steals your work, you can sue them for the copyright.
Is it?
Yeah. It's how it works on the internet.
It's called Copyright Commons.
Yeah, it's got date and a time once you publish.
Now, the next thing I want to show you, which I can show you, I can't show you from Neil's blog, is that I have commented on his blog. The comment goes into his comments box, and he can access it, but we don't see it on here until he approves it. Yeah. He might not approve it, but I've kept a copy.
And you can edit it too, which is what I should have done.
See here, look. Now, this is what I've said about Neil's blog. I'm going to go through everybody, so don't panic. You're going to get your turn too. Neil, this is let's first read Neil's blog.
Yes, we need to read it.
The poem on the blackberries at first was symbolic to the fruit itself. After reading it a few times, also coming from a black indigenous background, I feel lucky The words used enhance the colour black into one's understanding of the rich flavour. Our ancestry would be entertained that our denounced colour now has a lush, succulent fruit to enhance the colour black. Amazing how defined the interpretation of the poet's words tastes deliciously black. And so Neil's got it. He's really understood the way this poem...
I made mistakes.
You made mistakes?
Yes.
You did.
And the mistakes I made, I can tell you, because I checked them out, but I don't know where they are.
Well, they're all here.
One is in grammar.
Yeah.
An incorrect noun number.
Yep.
One's in punctuation.
Yep.
Which is a compound complex sentences.
Yep.
And spelling, three confused words.
Yep.
Enhancement, two word choices.
Yep.
And the style was four. There's three improper formatting and one passive voice.
Right, beautiful.
Misuse.
So Neil is really fast tracking here and trying to get the information about his own grammatical capacities. That's great. Your learning partners are here to help you too, and I'm here to help you too. So you've got three sources of help: yourself, me, and your learning partner, not necessarily in that order. But what I've done, and I won't be doing this every week because it's fairly time consuming, and I've got 150 students, but to begin with, I want to coach you through it. Now, I've said, Neil, this is a wonderful entry on the poem Blackberry Eating. You reveal something relevant about your own life, and you really do show an understanding of the way the poet's words do taste just like the blackberries themselves. There are a few corrections that need to be made, so please make these, and you can go into your blog, into the edit button, and you can make these so that when the world comes to see his blog, they'll say, this is wonderful, completely error-free writing. That's the idea. And you're going to know how to correct it, and you're going to gradually learn to improve your writing skills. It's the way to do it. So please make these and discuss with your learning partner why the changes were needed. This is where and how you will learn to write effectively. And then I've made a fair copy of what I think the errors are and how it should be rewritten. So that will help Neil there. So let's now move on to the next example, and we'll go back to this. Where is it? Here. We'll go back into the URLs and we'll click on Josh. Here we go, Josh. Now, Josh is really fast tracking. He's been writing poems and poems and poems and poems.
And who's Josh?
That's Josh there. Now, Josh, I haven't commented on all his poems.
What's text widget?
Text widget.
Isn't where, that what word that we don't use?
Well, I don't know. What, did you just see that come on the screen?
Yeah,
did
it's
you?
On Josh's page, text widget. Yeah, so you're right.
Okay. The text widget allows you to add text to your sidebar. Yeah, you can add things to your sidebar.
All right.
You can add links,
pictures
you can put right in the middle.
Yeah.
Pictures, there's a toolbar when you're writing your blog, and the top left-hand corner is pictures, and it says from a URL, which means you've got the picture from another website, just slap that in there and it'll appear in your blog.
Just so you know, my previous poem that you told me to correct, I corrected it and resubmitted it.
Very good!
So it's brand new. And also that's the latest poem I put on today.
This is the one here. So it's not that one we're talking about.
No.
So we're talking about this one here.
That's it.
My Wailing Friend.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
I've made the changes on that.
Okay, let's have a look at My Wailing Friend. My wailing friend. I have a friend who likes to sing. Oh, I love this one too. This Fender guitar, I love it. Because I used to be a guitarist too. It really turned me on, this poem did. I have a friend who likes to sing. She wails out loud. Her voice box streams. Her shape of beauty is rich in colour, glowing of yellow and white and specks of silver on other parts. Her famous songs are sung all over the land. She's the best of all the others within my band. She uses strings to make these sounds, and with her change of tone, she brings enjoyment to the town. Her stiff rod holds her long neck up high, so she sings from her bridge of sound, which brings tears from my eyes. And I play with her in this band. Tonight's the night, our final stand. We start to perform, we will never lose this crowd, because we are the best, we cry out loud. My arm is around her body, tight as she's lying on my lap. Cash rolls in as I tip my cap. She's the greatest band member of them all, whom everyone adores. Her voice is nice and tender, a great contender. My electric guitar named Fender. Yeah, there we go. Very nice. So what I've said here, Josh, this is a really wonderful first entry. Let me make this a little bit bigger. You write with passion and imagination, and your blog is powerfully illustrated. Your writing captures well your state of mind, but in such a way that it really communicates to the reader, and I sense helps you yourself make sense of these dark and frightening moments. I love the way you have dramatized the shadow. Excellent work, Josh. Am I talking about the same poem or different?
That was a different poem.
That's a different poem.
I think it's further
down. I think it's further down, actually. I think this is the one here. This is the one.
That's the shadow one,
yeah. On a dark, moonless night, I'm standing all alone, nowhere to go, nowhere to find home. The city of lights goes past as the sound gets driven through the city wind, as the sounds of screeching, rubbing and rubbering of the four-wheeled machines make me twinge. A plane flies past silently in the distance without any notice whatsoever. Like a black cat burglar prowling, moving so slowly yet very beautiful and brightly coloured like a rainbow in the night as it moves on forever. With all the busyness in this town, it's beautiful and dreamy. Yet I am alone and my sorrow cannot speak a sound. My only friend is my shadow, and since I cannot catch my shadow and hold it in my arms and say that everything is going to be okay, I wonder about my job instead, like some secret agent that is facing violence in this world which will leave me dead. The shadow of the night gets darker and I wonder and ponder, is this the life I lead? And without hesitation I lose my patience and my shadow will lead me instead. The beam of light guides me above, however, and makes me strong, makes me keep moving on. And so as I continue my journey in this lost, lonely city, I still have my shadow who is always there, my lonely shadow who is always with me, my shadow which I cannot chase, but leads me on and keeps me making strong, and so I continue on. And my comment there was, a wonderful first entry. You write with passion and imagination. Your blog is powerfully illustrated. Your writing captures well your state of mind, but in such a way that it really communicates to the reader, and I sense helps you yourself make sense of those dark and frightening moments. I love the way you've dramatized the shadow. Now, a comment I want to make about this poem, and for everybody, on this sheet here, this sheet Poetic Devices, in the first paragraph, the end of the first paragraph, it says, even though most poetry today is read silently, it must still carry with it the feeling of being spoken aloud. And the reader should practice hearing it in order to catch all the artfulness with which the poet has created his work. Now, when you start writing poetry, as Josh has, I don't know how long you've been writing, Josh, how long?
I only started writing lyrics for music just recently.
Okay.
But I about 5 years ago, I only did one course in creative writing.
Okay. So it applies to Josh, it applies to everybody. And it comes back to your question also, Adelaide. What's the difference between poetry and prose? The difference between poetry and prose is the way in which the poet has crafted and shaped the words to sit on the page, but also crafted the words so that they sound harmonious, musical, and so that the sound matches the meaning. Now, there are parts of the guitar poem that really sing for me, especially the last couple of stanzas, but there are parts of the poem which, for me, sound rather prosaic. They don't have that flow. They don't have they're not carrying the meaning so much. So what I'm suggesting, and this is something, you know, ideally, you'd sit down one-on-one with somebody and they'd go through and they'd take words out. Hi, come in. You want to come in?
Yeah,
come in, please. There's a seat over here. And take one of these with you. Okay? So, sometimes I will go through a poem and actually rewrite the stanza for you to make it sound more musical. I don't know if... Come in, over here, another seat around there.
Yeah.
So, for example,
But it doesn't all.
Now let me finish talking here.
All right.
So, for instance, in this stanza here, she uses strings to make these sounds, and with her change of tone, she brings enjoyment to the town. That's nearly getting there, although there's probably too many words in that second line to get a real sense of connection. She uses strings to make these sounds. The change of tone brings enjoyment to the town.
Okay.
You can take things out to make the thing speak more musically. And this stanza here is a little overloaded. Her stiff rod holds her long legs up high, so she sings from a bridge of sound which brings tears from my eyes. Cut half of that out and get a much more powerful impact. For instance, something like, her stiff rod holds her neck up high. She sings from a bridge, brings tears from my eyes. Something okay. like that.
Right.
So then when we're talking here, we're talking about rhythm and meter. See, so when,
take a lot of stuff out, make it shorter sentences.
I think so. And then listen to it. Listen how it sounds. And does the sound match the meaning beautifully? That's what you've got to get to. Like if you listen to the Galway Kinnell poem or any of the poems you've looked like Judith Wright, there's something, there's a way in which the sound, the meter, the words really connect and make the meaning come alive. And some of what you've written has got that, but other parts are less so. And you're not expected to have it first off. But that's, you know, poets. Judith Wright rewrote that poem, The Wattle Tree, 50 times before she got it right.
Okay. That's right.
That's right. And David Malouf wrote this novel 16 times before it was there. Part of the art of writing is to cut things out, to make it sing. Musicians, you know, they can write a phrase of music that's so long, but if they cut it out, change it, it really hits. So this is what art is about. Art is about shaping, making it intense, making it, giving it intensity.
Yep. Do you want to read the latest poem I wrote?
No, not now.
What's prosaic?
Okay, good. Very good question. Did I use that word just now? Okay. Poetic is when it does the things that I'm suggesting it does, when it's singing its meaning into being, singing through its use of meter, through its use of sound, through all these devices. The poet just knows how to use language, and when you read it, you think, they've got it. Prosaic is when the poetry becomes more like prose and loses the rhythm, the harmony. There's another word that I...
Sound.
There's a word, I don't want to put this word up, but I'm going to put it up anyway. And I don't know if I can spell it either. Mellifluous. It might have a double L there. Mellifluous. And it comes from the Greek word mela, which means honey.
Ah.
Okay? So when your poem is dripping with honey, and it's mellifluous, it's sounding. Now, it doesn't have to always sound soft and gentle. It can be really harsh, too. You could be writing a poem about a war. It can have impact. It can have violence in it. But mellifluous means that it's got shape and it's got integrity. It's got verbal, it's got all these elements working in it to the effect of the meaning. Okay, let's move on. Josh, I know you got another poem there, so, but I've got to get through everybody in the class.
A great poet would write a poem with all of that
happening. That's right, Neil, perfect. And we're going to see Shakespeare in a minute. We're going to go to Shakespeare before 4 o'clock, before afternoon tea.
Oh,
so I might not be able to get through everybody today, but we'll keep going. So we're going to come back here to find all the literature ACU. Okay, who we got next? Ray Morgan. Okay, so here's Ray's poem, and actually we read it out at the last week. So
did we read that one?
Yeah, we read it out. We read this out, but I'm going to read it out again now.
Because we read your other one.
Today I washed my soul, cleansed of the resentments and anxieties. Sorry I was not listening, my mum. I did not spare my soul. I was preparing her to heaven. Emptied my soul from sins. I wash out the soul and wept, and my tears was clean. Resent those who were rude, and with me was not quite familiar. I now wash out the soul from my years of sins. Today I washed my soul, cleansed of the resentments and anxieties. Sorry I was not listening, my mum. I did not spare my soul. Now, first thing I want to say is that this poem is very poetical. It doesn't waste words. Now, there are problems with the grammar. There's problems with the meaning, not quite clear in parts, but it doesn't waste words. It's got a kind of a cleanness about its way it's projecting, and there's
crisp.
A certain crisp, very good word, Neil. And it's got a feeling in it, too. The feeling of the relationship with the mother really comes through quite strongly. So I haven't gone through this poem in detail, but this is what I've said to Ray. This is a wonderful start to your WordPress blog. Well done. You've given us a lot of important information about yourself. And I've checked out your wonderful website. So if you go to Ray's blog, you'll see his website mentioned there too. There are a few minor corrections that need to be made here. please make these in your document by using the edit function. And Ray will understand these corrections that need to be made here. So that's the first thing to do, make the correction so that it's grammatically working well. After that, we can talk some more about how this poem could be improved poetically. Could other images be put in? Could something be left out? And so on.
But I also have a YouTube channel.
Yep.
Race Life Sydney. It's exactly how I put on YouTube channel. If you search for Race Life, how you put in the correct way on the right,
yep,
you will see nothing. Because it's not how Google works.
Yeah, yeah.
So this means...
They don't use the punctuation
this means
correctly.
Why I put this, it's exactly yeah, yeah, for people
okay,
to search.
Okay.
This is the reason.
Okay, well, that's
it's,
a good
it's
reason.
It's not a grammatical, just for yeah, everybody.
That's good. All
so,
right.
So if you have a website or you have anything somewhere,
yeah,
just put it here
yeah,
exactly
yeah,
how...
You've
it's lowercase, lowercase,
yeah,
otherwise
yeah,
people cannot find it.
Fair enough. Good
yeah,
point. Yeah, accept that.
Yeah.
I accept that.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. Let's move on.
Wrong.
Sorry?
Wrong.
Wrong?
Sorry.
Okay.
Must be Ron's next.
So who is next? Who's next? Next is Ron, yeah.
Ronan.
Ronan. Oh, I love this one.
Ronan.
Read more, look.
Yeah.
Read more. And this, look at this. It's a beautiful
wow,
beautiful site he's created here. Parnell Poetry Originals, letter to you. I'm going to make this a little bigger.
I like it.
Okay. Of course, secretly I admired you. And is this your recent poem, the one that
yeah,
I commented on? Of course.
Yeah, the most recent one, yeah.
Have I, is this the one I commented on or not?
No. The one you commented on was the first one.
Okay, let's go there.
Okay.
Is
no,
hang on. I think it
no,
is this one. I think I did comment on this one.
Heartfelt longing, it sounds like
yeah,
it's that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, that, maybe I didn't get that one. I must have got that one in my email, but it sounds like you commented on both of them. Then,
I think I've also put your name
it's
wrongly here.
Yeah.
That's a mistake.
Yeah.
This is Ronan, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm getting myself confused. So let's read this poem. This is the one. This is the one.
That's a passionate one.
This is
yeah,
the one, yeah. Of course, okay. Of course, I secretly admired you and hoped that you would notice me. And the fact that I was nice to you on the off chance that we made contact or bumped into each other further down the track in our recovery. Because honestly, who understands and accepts people like us better than us? At the risk of sounding a bit too keen, I really noticed you and wanted badly those lips of yours on mine. I mean those puffy soft lips pressing on me, torturing me further in my pathetic desperation to find love. Your eyes too, yes, those legs that dress, you could take me to a place where I could be held prisoner for years with nothing to live on but your sweat and bodily fluids. And your dark hair, yeah, being in an institution for 18 months does something to a man, send him crazy, for lust, for love, at the very least something affectionate. I effin' love your dark hair. I've always been attracted to a brunette over a blonde, black on black, love it. Maybe it's because I have dark hair and look better in black and that's what I'm attracted to. I just liked your overall confidence and the contrast of those white legs against that black dress. I'm free now, but I can still remember it vividly. Love. Okay. Ronan, I think that... Now, again, same comments as with Josh. Overall, I love the poem. I love the feel. I love the intensity. It's got a reality about it. But it could be sharpened up by editing, by shrinking the stanzas a bit, by allowing the words to sing a bit more. In fact, with poetry often... Less is more.
Yes.
Less is more. And you could find, we could sit down for half an hour and work on that poem together. You could maybe do that with your learning partner and create a tighter, more impactful poem. So my comments on this were, this poem is fabulous, Ronan. It is hot with immediacy and passion. It reads well and is a poem full of heartfelt longing. Congratulations. There are a few edits that are needed, however, and you can make these by going into the edit mode for your blog. I've put edit in caps. So did you get those edits?
I'm not sure if I did, but I haven't looked in the actual
blog. Look in the blog. I've rewritten the whole poem for you and corrected just the grammatical things in there. Yes, Josh?
You said that less is more in poetry. I've been told ages ago that
yep,
less is more for pretty much a lot of stuff.
That's true.
For art, for graphic design.
That's right,
for
yeah,
anything, really.
Yeah, that's very true. It's very true. Except for War and Peace, for example.
Yeah.
There are exceptions.
So I'm just heading to the bathroom.
Please, that's fine. And I'm just having a drink of water.
Okay.
Under Rosanna's instructions.
I know you'll watch you all.
There's a
problem. I'm laughing now.
Okay, who's next? Adelaide. Adelaide is next.
Let's go back into here, and we go into find Adelaide. You can all find each other's blogs here, you see. So there's Adelaide. The purple curtain. Read more. Okay. Describe in as much detail as possible the place you live and the view from your window. There is Edward Burne Jones' print about the adoration of Christ, framed in black, propped up on an easel against the curtain. I can move it carefully and pull back the curtain to expose a splattered raw egg that cooked last summer that the ice dealers threw at my window. I can't reach out and remove it, but beyond it is nature in all its glory, behind which are balconies, balconies, balconies of those nasties called neighbours. No privacy now. Below is my worm farm and my begonia, dragon wing, and other assorted plants and pots. What I would like is a beehive, but that can entice the thieves. Beautiful. Nice paragraph. Almost a poem. Like, as you said, if you broke this down into line shapes, you could almost turn this into a poem. Almost do that. And what was my comment on here? Adelaide.
I was meant to put the picture of Edward Burne Jones
up. Yeah, and I gave you a link for that.
Yeah, oh, got sorry, that. I didn't.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't done it.
You haven't, but you know how to do it?
I'll find it.
You do. When you go into your edit mode, there's a toolbar that comes across the top, and the top left-hand corner is images, and you can either post an image that's on the computer or an image that's from Google. And if it's from Google, you simply put the URL in there and the image pops up on your site. Okay, that's the way to do it.
That's beautiful print, actually.
It is.
So it would add to the...
It would add to your blog, yeah. Absolutely. That is a fabulous first blog post, Adelaide. Thank you. I love the way you create a sense of layers in your environment, the curtain, the window, the garden beyond. And it is a rather odd collection of items, all adding colour and interest to your description. You could, of course, add to your blog a photograph of the place, or even download and paste into your blog the picture of the Adoration of Christ, and there's the link I'm giving you. Okay, moving right along, we go to Rima, and... okay. That's the new one. Now, where's the first blog? My first blog. What did I put on Rima? Hang on. Okay. Rima, I haven't made a comment yet because I didn't see it yet. So you've got something there now, so that's good. I can go and have a look at it later on, but I won't make any comment at the moment about it. All right? That's good. And last but not least,
Song.
Let's listen to Song's song. Ah, this is very interesting. Is this a new one or
it's a new one.
August the 18th? Is this the one I commented on?
Yes.
Yes, it is. Okay. When I wake up in the morning, I hear the window calling me. When I just inch open it, I feel the window bringing me breeze. When I think of a day, I see the window showing me pictures. When I come to it, I sense the window pulling me to other windows. When I stick to it, I'm aware of the window pushing me to the real world. When I sit on a chair, I urge the window to lift me to the sky. When I leave my room, I force the window wave me to cheer up. When I'm back in the room, I ignore the window asking me about my day. When I look at it dark, I shun the window dragging me to another world. Beautiful.
Oh, interesting.
Beautiful. And what immediately impressed me, Song, is that from our work last week on the poem Mangoes, you've picked up immediately the power of repetition. Mangoes are, mangoes are, mangoes are, mangoes are, mangoes are. And you've got when I, and it works. It really works. And the comment I've made here, song, this Song of Songs, you call it the Song of Songs, is fabulous. You're using beautifully the technique of repetition to bring life into your writing. Your poem, like Mangoes, brings new life to the object, windows. And this gives a picture of your whole life. Well done. And here I've rewritten the poem, making grammatical corrections in there, and that's in your comments. Okay, now before we leave blogs, I just want to go to my blog.
That was such an interesting concept about the window.
A very interesting concept about the window, about all its different faces. So here's my blog, and if you go into exploring literature here, okay, I put this up this morning, read more, and now that actually is what I saw when I went on my run last night. The bush near where I live up past Hornsby, the bush is full of flowers at the moment. And this is wax flowers in front of a cave there. And I was there about 4:30 yesterday afternoon. It just blew me away. So I got home and I...
I like the hole in the rock.
A hole in the rock's brilliant, yeah. So the image above is from a walk into the bush around my place. These are wax flowers. Here they sit so beautifully against the background of a sandstone cave. The bush is full of these flowers at the moment. It's not yet spring, but spring has definitely sprung. So this week we are continuing our journey through the language of poetry, the way it can bring us deeply into another person's experience, which you've just been witnessing from your own poetry. I think it's fantastic that you guys are writing stuff that we're listening to and responding to. I think it's beautiful. And the way it can tease us, the way poetry can tease us with so many layers of thought. Today we'll be looking at a number of new poems, starting with Shakespeare after our afternoon tea, morning afternoon tea. And as well as exploring some of the language that is used to describe aspects of poetry. And that relates to the handout that you've got. I'll be going through that handout a little bit before we finish at 5 o'clock today. But here are a few juicy blog topics that might excite your imagination this coming week. What kind of woman do you think was Shakespeare's mistress? And we're going to come to that when we see My Mistress' Eyes Are Nothing Like the Sun. In either prose or poetry, write a short appreciation of the unnamed master or mistress in your own life. Is he or she nothing like the sun? Describe in a short paragraph how this contact with literary language that you've been having in the last few weeks has been opening your eyes to new possibilities in your life. Describe in as much, describe in as much detail as you can the journey from where you live to class today. Use descriptive words that bring all your senses into play: sight, sound, touch, smell, movement. Where possible, use words that have a sound in themselves, like squelch, squirm, quack, ricochet, rumble, etc. I'm sure you can find many more. 5, create a topic of your very own and write a few stanzas, poetry, or paragraph of prose. Your own topic.
On all 4?
Oh, God, no. 1. Choose 1. If you want to do more, that's fine. If you've got time, that's fine. But you're only required to do 1.
Now, Michael.
Yes, Adelaide.
What's the, you know, like the...
Hang on a second. Let's Adelaide.
What's the correct, you know, like, are we censored on what we write?
Are you censored on what you write? No, you're not censored on what you write. You're not censored on what you write. You will, at the end of semester, get a mark on the blogs that you've done during the semester.
But do you know what I mean? If we write really personal things and about people's...
I'm not going to censor anybody, but I'm going to draw a line at foul language and, yes, and stuff like that. There is, in the unit outline, there's a link that takes you to netiquette. Netiquette. Wherever you're working online, in a public place, you behave respectably.
Of course.
That's without saying.
Oh, but I'm just wondering, you know, if you write about someone's anatomy, are we allowed to call them that anatomy?
You
that
want
anatomy?
To? You want to write that anatomy? You want to write that?
Do you understand what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying, that there are some subjects that are taboo, but there's very little that's taboo nowadays. Very little that's taboo. So I wouldn't worry about it too much. But if you've got any doubts about what you're writing and you've got problems about writing about somebody's anatomy, come and talk to me first. And I'll give you advice at that point. I'll say, no, definitely not Adelaide. You're putting your life on your line.
Okay. There's some words that you just, you know, like some people are cool with it and the toffs.
That's right.
I'm not so cool with it. So you end up getting haters instead of lovers.
I love the way you did that, Neil. The toffs.
You don't hear about toffs much.
You don't.
Now, I'm going to hand out your writing exercises from last week. There's no mark attached to them. Song, a good attempt. Some keywords need correcting, and clearer links need to be made with the poem itself. When you get this back, there's red all over it. But you have to work with your learning partner, get your learning partner to help you to improve it.
That's heaps to do.
Oh, we have to
heaps to do. Yay!
We have to improve that too.
You don't have to do anything. You don't even have to turn up. But if you want to learn and get better in English and prepare yourself for the essay you're going to have to do, which you are going to get marked for, and the take-home exam, which you are going to get marked for, then the more you work on this, the easier it will be for you later on. And, you know, this is not an imposition. This is a chance, an opportunity to develop your writing. And it's not much, really. Not much. I mean, it might seem a lot. And if you've got a problem with the workload, come and see me and I'll help you.
No, I'm grateful.
Okay. So, Rima, I love this. This is very good, Rima. You're exploring with precision the connotations of keywords and the way they interact with each other. Now, I didn't read Rima's blog out, but I'm going to read this out. Mangoes are fleshy, skinful, passionate fruits. Fleshy conjures up the sensation of being rich, full, lush, extremity in size and growth. At one level, this word has positive connotation, but on another, as far as the taste, modernity, or rather beauty in modernity is concerned, fleshy can be synonymous with fatness, extravagance, which are tabooed and unattractive. The skinfulness describes immediately an opposite sensation, as if it almost apologizes for being a mistake of being fleshy. And to balance it all, or to make it sound balanced, if the poet adds passionate to the fruit. So there's a lot of good insights there into the language. Very good. Colin, you didn't have a blog either, so
this is not registered today.
Good. This piece of writing, excellent, Colin. You interpret your chosen lines well. Sentence structure needs to be simplified. Short is beautiful. Same comment I made to Josh, etc. Mangoes are a positive good in the world. Mangoes like poetry. The first line, in the terms of the place in our society, of the nature of the fruit being a mango, suggests that a mango, in its most simple and colloquial form, is a fruit that has absolutely no negative impact on society. As every fruit, they are only shown to be a positive in society. This is reflected in its nature of being a naturally formed object. The second line personifies the fruit, suggesting that the fruit in itself enjoys being described in the way the whole poem has done, as if only increases the value of the fruit. In conclusion, I hate mangoes. They are mean. Lovely. Beautiful.
Thank you.
Josh. You write well, Josh, and capture something of the wider significance of the mango. This applies especially to what you say about your second chosen line. This applies. Could you also say what the first line might be implying about society at large? Lacking in passion, perhaps. So the second line I wrote down at the top of this page, mangoes are what parents and parliaments warn against, shows to me that mangoes are sweet and soft-tasting fruit. The sentence which says, what parents and parliaments warn against, shows that parliaments are not that sweet and parents cannot be so soft at times in their personality. Very good.
Thank you.
Ronan. The nature of the fruit is messy, abnormal, sticky, unconventional and different. Its very nature is peculiar with its strange shape and large seed and slimy texture. It doesn't seem to fit into society, and if it has to be compared to the rest of society, I suppose it would be unaccepted, outcast, and isolated, homeless man of a prince that has been banished from his family. Nice image for conveying the reasons why something unconventional is made outcast. Lovely, Ronan. You write well, but your sentences could be less compact. More compact, I meant to say. Shorter sentences make for easier management. No. Less compact, you're trying to put too much into the sentences.
Yep.
Okay? Excellent. Neil!
Did I get an F?
You did. There's no grade at all. No grade.
We all got red writing though.
Yep.
Maybe it should be green writing.
Yes. Preference for green.
Preference for green. I could only find a red pen last night. You've got some excellent ideas in this essay, Neil, but grammar and sentence structure need work in order for your ideas to become really clear. It would be good if your learning partner could help you rewrite this potentially excellent piece. Seriously, that's what learning partners are here for. Sit down with her and get her to work through that with you. I've made a lot of corrections in there, but really I need to explain the corrections to you as well. I'm sure your learning partner will be able to do that. Okay, lovely, thank you. Veronica is not here. Ray, some excellent images in your writing, Ray. Sentence structure needs attention. Like a jelly, it breaks itself and makes a big mess. When you eat mangoes, you expect dirty hands and mangoes around your mouth. Even if you don't want it, when you eat a mango, the mango is in charge, not you. Mangoes like beginning once again. When you open a mango, you actually break its virginity, and every mango is different as every virgin is different. I don't know what is inside, color, texture, taste, amount of sweetness, and how big is a mango seed, which can bring into a new beginning another mango. Beautiful. Adelaide, hungry to be sucked, they are offering themselves up as a sacrifice. Scott, I hope you're not embarrassed by this conversation, but we really went into mangoes in great depth last week. Like a famous... devour me while I'm ripe and at my optimum, like a famous Japanese artist believing at our optimum we should commit suicide. Place in society, a seductress. Mangoes are glad to be stuck in the teeth. While they're on their way out, they want to be an irritant so you'll remember them. Mangoes in society, a boundary breaker, a stirrer. Adelaide, you've got some wonderful images here that show your understanding of the poem. Your writing at times is almost like a poem. So you're going to have to work towards seeing a sharper difference between poetic and prose writing. Interesting that your question came up in that direction before. Coralie Hinckley, two pages, wonderful. I'd like you to read them for us. I say this is a wonderful spontaneous poem about the nature of a mango. Can you read it for the whole class, please? Big, loud voice.
Excuse me, just exactly where I wrote it so badly,
yep.
and the print is so faint.
That's right. Well, you've got more chance of reading it than I have.
I don't think I have. It is luscious. Oh dear, I don't think I can. It is a... I can't. I'm sorry, I can't see this. I need a little bit stronger light and a stronger writing something. Sorry.
It is luscious. It is an intelligent fruit. It will cool us with the heat when you're thirsty and in need. Something personal to cool yourself, to indulge. It is a fruit which will not disappoint one. You can yourself eat yourself in the mango. It has colour, taste, texture, feeling. It is all encompassing. It tastes and firms our mouth. It is the complete opposite of Jack and even forgotten. It is full of promise, of exotic, colourful people, of promises and wishes as yet unfulfilled. But be banned. Just absorb you. Its juice is dangerous, slipping, and could lead you into dangerous decisions.
Thank you for reading that and seeing it, at least.
And now it's time for afternoon tea. Yay! Go for it.
But all the week I kept thinking of squelching and sloshing and going around with my tongue and my teeth like that for blackberries.
Blackberries.
Trying to find new words for the sensation.
Yes, you can buy a book. Yes, we bet. Yeah.
Sorry. That is so faint. I beg your pardon, dear Michael.
I'm sorry I made a few errors on the way.
You did not. I didn't write them. Strongly enough, so that I could read them. Look, I'm sorry.
Can you type it out for us?
I can't type, but somebody will.
Okay.
Emma will.
$10. Have I got $10? I probably have got $10.
Hello, dear. Hello, good to see you. Yes, Dr. Michael is. I've got a call in there. But they're all very interesting, and on the other page, some of these great people comment on the writing. They comment on it, and it's very good. Thank you very much. Thank you. Are you all right, Rima? I will have to get a stronger pen or something up. And the light doesn't help me at all because I am going to keep it. I'll see if I can get this. 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 I'll see if